All right, get ready for a deep dive.
Yeah.
We're diving into audiology today with, well, with Dr. Aliyeh Dinesh, actually, using his CV.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty amazing. There's a lot there. I'm excited to see what we can uncover about him and his career and all that.
Yeah, these CVs, they can be really revealing.
Yeah.
It's not just like, you know, here's what I did. It kind of tells a story.
Yeah, totally, totally. So to start off, well, he's currently a professor at Florida Atlantic University.
Right.
But he's a professor twice.
Yeah.
He has a professorship in communication sciences and disorders.
Uh-huh.
And in integrated medical sciences.
Wow.
So that's interesting.
That is interesting, yeah. That tells me that he's someone who's not just looking at the ear.
Right.
But he's kind of bridging that gap between communication, medicine, thinking about the whole person.
Yeah.
Which is so important. I mean, especially when you're talking about things like hearing loss and tinnitus. Where the impacts, they go way beyond just not hearing clearly.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a quality of life thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Ugh. And he's also a board-certified audiologist with a private practice.
Oh, wow.
Called Labyrinth Audiology.
Right.
So that's pretty amazing. He's not just like a researcher or a teacher.
Right.
He's actually out there in the field working with people.
That's a powerful combination because it means that his research is informed by, you know, what he's seeing in his practice every day.
Yeah.
The questions he asks in his research probably come from the challenges that his patients are facing.
Right. And I mean, we don't want to skip over the beginning, so we should rewind a bit.
Okay.
And talk about where he came from academically.
Yeah.
So his PhD is in audiology with a focus on auditory electrophysiology.
Right.
So can you just break that down a little bit? Like, what is auditory electrophysiology?
It's like listening to the electrical signals in the brain as it's processing sound. So you can think about it as like you're listening to the symphony of your brain. The parts of the brain that are lighting up when you're hearing music or when you're listening to someone speak, it's really fascinating stuff.
So it's like brain waves and sound, the connection there.
Exactly, yeah. So it's all about measuring the brain's response to sound through these electrical signals.
Cool, cool. Well, and his dissertation, well, the title anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Caught my eye. It's Topographic Analysis of Late Auditory Evoked Potentials, LAEPs, to linguistic and acoustically similar non-linguistic stimuli.
A mouthful, yeah.
That's a lot.
But it's actually really interesting. So think about it this way. You're in a crowded room.
Yeah.
Full of conversations.
Okay.
How does your brain filter out all that noise and focus on the one person you're talking to?
Right.
That's what he's looking at, but at the level of the brain waves.
Oh, wow. So like distinguishing meaningful speech from other random noises.
Exactly. Yeah. So those late auditory evoked potentials, they're kind of like echoes in the brain that show how we process different sounds.
Okay.
So his dissertation was looking at how the brain separates what's important from what's not important, the signal from the noise.
Wow. So that, I mean, that has to have some implications for things like hearing loss.
Absolutely.
People who are struggling to hear in noisy situations.
Yeah. So this early research is really important for understanding how we hear and communicate in complex situations.
Wow. Okay. So we're starting to decode the story a little bit.
Yeah.
But he lists all these specialty areas on his CV.
Oh, yeah. His CV is packed with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're talking tinnitus, sound sensitivity disorders,
right?
Even cochlear hair cell regeneration.
Yeah, that's the one that gets me really excited.
Yeah, that's like a sci-fi thing.
It is. What
does that even mean? Cochlear hair cell regeneration.
It's like the fountain of youth for your ears. So those tiny hair cells in your inner ear that are responsible for detecting sound.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to regrow those.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. The potential to reverse hearing loss.
Hold on. Reverse hearing loss.
Yeah.
That's huge. Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely want to delve deeper into that. Yeah. But first, I'm curious about those sound sensitivity disorders.
Yeah.
What are those all about?
So you know how some people are sensitive to certain smells or textures? It's the same with sound.
Yeah.
So there are people who experience real discomfort, pain even, to everyday sounds. That most of us wouldn't even notice.
I have a friend like that. It's called misophonia, right?
That's a great example.
Okay.
Yeah, misophonia is a type of sound sensitivity disorder.
Okay.
And it can be incredibly debilitating.
Yeah, I've seen her, like, have to leave rooms because people are chewing too loudly.
Right. Exactly. Because for them, that sound is, it triggers such a negative response in the brain. And it can really affect relationships, work, social life, everything.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I remember you mentioned hyperacusis too.
Yeah, that's another one. Where everyday sounds seem just unbearably loud. Yeah. Like imagine the rustle of leaves or the hum of a refrigerator.
It's yeah.
Just so loud, almost painful.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really tough to live with.
It sounds very difficult. I'm curious to hear more about, you know, how his work is helping these people.
Yeah.
But we are running out of time for this part of our deep dive.
I know. It's amazing how much information is packed into this CV.
Yeah.
But don't worry, we'll be back to explore even more.
Yes. Okay, welcome back to our deep dive into the career of Dr. Dinesh. We were just talking about all the different things he specializes in, like sound sensitivity disorders.
Oh, yeah, we just scratched the surface there.
Yeah. And that cochlear hair cell regeneration.
Right, yeah, the fountain of youth for the ears.
I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, for sure.
But before we do, I mean, his CV has a whole bunch of publications.
Oh, yeah, it's quite a list.
Books, articles, conference presentations. Like, where do we even start?
Well, we were just talking about misophonia, right?
Right.
And he's got this publication titled Misophonia, a Neurologic, Psychologic, and Audiologic Complex. I think that's a good place to start.
Okay, yeah, that was the one where, like, certain sounds just send people through the roof, basically.
Exactly, and it's not just, like, being annoyed by a sound. It's much deeper than that.
Yeah.
His research suggests that it's really how the brain is processing and interpreting a sound.
Okay.
Not just, like, the ears themselves.
But, like, the sound is triggering a totally different response.
Yeah, yeah, like a chain reaction in the brain.
Wow.
Leading to anger, anxiety, even like disgust. And those emotions are like really intense.
Yeah.
And really hard to control.
You know, my friend who I mentioned, I mean, family dinners were like a nightmare for her.
Right.
She would just have to leave because of the chewing sounds.
Yeah, it can be very isolating.
Yeah.
And you know, for a long time, people didn't really understand misophonia.
Right.
Even some doctors would kind of dismiss it. Mm. You know, oh, you're just being oversensitive.
Right, right.
But Dr. Dinesh's research is really helping to change that. Yeah, you know, showing that it's a real neurological condition that deserves serious attention.
Okay, that's great. And you mentioned hyperacusis before, too.
Yeah, that's the one where everyday sounds seem incredibly loud.
Right, right.
Almost painful.
How loud are we talking?
It varies, but, you know, imagine, like, the rustle of leaves.
Yeah.
Or a refrigerator humming. And it's just, like, blaring in your ears.
Wow, that sounds awful.
Yeah, very challenging to deal with. And he actually has a publication called Hyperacusis and Autism Spectrum Disorders.
Oh, interesting.
So he's exploring the connection between hyperacusis and autism.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've heard that sensory sensitivities are pretty common in people with autism.
Yeah, absolutely. And for some, hyperacusis can be a major barrier to participating in, you know, everyday activities.
Yeah.
Imagine a child who can't, like, go to a birthday party.
Right.
Because the sounds are just too much.
Yeah. Yeah. So with his research on hyperacusis, like what's he trying to figure out?
Well, he's trying to understand the underlying mechanisms.
Okay.
Both in people with autism and just, you know, in the general population.
So like, why are some people's brains reacting so differently?
Exactly. Yeah. And if we can understand the root causes, you know, then maybe we can start to develop better treatments.
Okay. That makes sense. But I know we're kind of focusing on these journal articles, but his CV also mentions all these book chapters he's written.
Oh, yeah. He's a prolific writer.
Yeah. Like, what kind of stuff is he writing about in these chapters?
Well, he's got one on the auditory system, for example.
Okay.
And that suggests he's really trying to share this knowledge with a broader audience.
Right. So not just other scientists, but...
Exactly. Yeah. Anyone who's interested in how hearing works.
Right.
And that's important. I mean, it's not just audiologists who need to know about this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, teachers, parents, even architects.
Absolutely, yeah.
People designing spaces need to think about sound.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, this research is great, but it can't be cheap.
No, research definitely takes funding.
So how is he paying for all of this?
Well, this is where his CV gets really impressive.
Okay.
He's got a really strong track record of getting grants.
Okay, like what kind of grants are we talking about?
Well, there's one called 2UNAA, Telehealth Use of a Nystagmus Analyzer Algorithm.
2UNA.
Yeah,
All right, I'm going to need you to break that down for me.
Okay, so nystagmus is this involuntary eye movement.
Yeah.
And it can be a sign of, you know, problems with the inner ear or even other neurological conditions.
Okay.
And the TUNAA grant, it's basically about developing a telehealth system
Okay.
that can analyze these eye movements remotely.
So you're saying, like, a doctor could diagnose a balance disorder through a video call.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
It's pretty cutting-edge stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be huge for people who can't easily travel to see specialists.
Absolutely. And that's just one example.
Okay.
He's also got funding for projects related to tinnitus, balance disorders, even misophonia. And the variety of sources is impressive too.
Oh, yeah.
Foundations, university grants. It shows he's really good at brewing these collaborations.
Right. Convincing people that his work is important.
Exactly. Which is a skill in itself.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so we've talked about journal articles, book chapters, grants.
Right.
There's got to be more.
Oh, there's plenty more. We've only just begun to uncover the depths of this CV.
Okay, welcome back to the deep dive. We are uncovering so much cool stuff about Dr. Dinesh's career.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, last time we were talking about the research he's doing with things like hyperacusis and misophonia.
Right, and all that funding he secured.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and the telehealth thing. That's crazy.
Yeah, the 2NAA grant. Pretty cutting edge.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But research isn't everything.
Right, it's only part of the story.
So what else is there?
Well, his CV mentions some pretty interesting roles. Like he's been on editorial boards
Okay.
for journals and a reviewer too.
Oh, wow. So he's like a gatekeeper of knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, deciding what gets published, what doesn't.
Right. So that means his peers really respect him.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to be entrusted with that kind of responsibility
Right. Yeah.
to uphold the standards of science, that's a big deal.
Totally. And he's also a grant reviewer for organizations like the National Science Foundation.
Wow.
So he's helping decide which research projects get funded.
Yeah, he's shaping the future of the field.
Wow. So, I mean, with all that, does he even have time to share his own research?
Oh, definitely. Actually, his CV lists a ton of presentations
Okay.
at conferences and community events.
Okay.
Like one that stood out to me is called Accommodations for Students with Misophonia in Academic Settings.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about how tough that could be.
Right, exactly. So he's not just researching misophonia, he's also advocating for solutions,
Okay.
Raising awareness of the challenges that students face.
That's awesome. And those presentations, are they all like local or?
Oh, no. He's presented internationally too.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's the research, there's the presentations.
Yeah.
What about leadership roles?
Oh, yes. He's definitely been a leader in the field.
Okay, like what?
Well, he was the president of the Florida Academy of Audiology.
Wow. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it
I'm
is.
sure that comes with a lot of responsibility.
A lot of work, for sure.
Yeah.
But it shows that he's committed to, you know, more than just his own research.
Yeah.
He's trying to advance the whole profession.
Okay. And he's also involved with other organizations, right?
Yeah, like the American Academy of Audiology and the American Tinnitus Association, which are, you know, national organizations that really have an impact.
Okay. And he's a volunteer too.
Yeah, for the American Tinnitus Association on their help network.
That's pretty cool.
It is, yeah.
Like he's not just researching tinnitus, he's actually helping people who have it.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so we've got research, presentations, leadership, volunteer work. Is there anything else?
Well, we can't forget about the awards and recognition.
Oh, right. What kind of awards are we talking?
He's received the Researcher of the Year Award
Okay.
and the Scholar of the Year Award.
Wow. So like top honors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also been nominated for Distinguished Teacher of the Year.
Oh, wow. I mean, this CV is incredible.
Yeah, it's inspiring
It really is.
to see all that he's accomplished.
So, okay. What's the takeaway for our listeners?
I think Dr. Dinesh's career really shows us that audiology is way more than just, you know, hearing tests and hearing aids.
Yeah.
It's a field that's constantly evolving,
Right.
using science and technology to make a real difference in people's lives.
And who knows what the future holds, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe one day, thanks to research like his, we'll be able to completely reverse hearing loss.
Right. Or maybe, you know, we'll develop personalized treatments for tinnitus and misophonia.
Pretty exciting to think about. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Dr. Dinesh's amazing career. We hope you learned something new and maybe even feel a little bit inspired.
Yeah, and if you're curious to learn more, I definitely encourage you to check out his work. There's a lot to discover.
Hey, we'll be back soon with another deep dive into a whole new topic. So until then, keep those ears open and those minds curious.